This morning I want to talk a bit about a theme in both of these readings, that of seeing. Now at this point in the gospel according to Mark, Mark is very focused on seeing, what it means to see. In chapter 8 of Mark's gospel, there is a story of Jesus in Bethsaida curing a blind man. And this is the story, you may remember, it's when Jesus spits into his hand with some mud and rubs it on this man's eyes, and he has to do it twice, but this blind man sees. And then between that story and today's story, we have some incidents of the disciples not seeing. They have good 20/20 physical sight, these disciples. But we get stories of, for example, Peter trying to keep Jesus from going to Jerusalem when Jesus says, I must go and be crucified. And Peter says, well, I'm not going to let you go. Peter doesn't quite see what Jesus has come to do. We get the story of the transfiguration when Jesus is on the mountaintop and suddenly shines with all of his glory. And Peter and James and John don't quite see, even at that moment, who Jesus is and what he's come to do. We get some grumbling from the disciples about who's the greatest. And we get, just before today's story, in chapter 10, the story of James and John coming to Jesus and saying, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And what they want Jesus to give them is a share of his glory. And then we get the story of another blind person being healed. But by this point in Mark's gospel, it becomes pretty clear that what Mark and what Jesus are talking about is more than just physical seeing. It's spiritual sight. And seeing not just with eyes, but with the heart and the soul. To see Jesus for who he is, to see God. And that's one of the many ironies of the story of Bartimaeus. I mean, as Jesus comes past, Bartimaeus starts crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And by that very phrase, Son of David, Bartimaeus already shows that he can see. He sees Jesus for who Jesus is. Son of David is a very specific term for the Messiah. Bartimaeus already sees who Jesus is and cries out to him for mercy. The irony being this blind man sees more than most of the other people in the story see. And I love the reaction of the crowd around Bartimaeus. They're good Presbyterians. They say, shh, be quiet. You're disrupting worship. But Jesus says, bring him to me. And Bartimaeus goes. And notice, before he goes, Bartimaeus throws off his coat. He's throwing off his old life as a beggar and comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Now this is fascinating because it's the very same question Jesus has asked James and John just a few verses earlier. Remember when they came to him, as I just mentioned, and said, Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we want. You know, as if Jesus were Santa Claus. And Jesus says to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they say, let us have a share of your glory. Nothing much. And of course, Jesus tries to tell them, well, if you're going to share in my glory, you might have to share in some suffering along the way. They don't quite see that. But isn't it interesting? Jesus asked the very same question to Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus, in his humility and desperation, says simply, I want to see. Again, the irony. He already sees more than most anyone else in this story. I want to see. And Jesus knows that Bartimaeus already sees what's important. Sees with the eyes of faith. And that's why Jesus says to him, "Your faith has healed you." And Bartimaeus can now see with these eyes as well as with his heart and soul. And I love the coda of the story. And Bartimaeus follows Jesus from this point on. Now, unfortunately, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. That will happen rather quickly. Bartimaeus is getting on board at the last minute. But I've often wondered, what happened to Bartimaeus? He's one of those many people in Scripture that we never hear another word from. No mention. I think there's a good novel in there somewhere. What happened to Bartimaeus? Given his sight just before the crucifixion, what happened to him? But again, the point of the story, he sees Jesus, even before he can see Jesus. And it's a reminder to us, as the psalm also reminds us, taste and see that the Lord is good. A reminder to us that one of our tasks as Christians is to see, to be looking for God and for Jesus. Be looking for God out there in the world and in our own lives. Be looking for Jesus, maybe even in some of the people around you right now. To see, not just with these eyes, but with our heart. And then there's a line in the psalm that jumped out at me this week. And it says, "Those who look to God will shine." Those who see God will shine. We are called to see, but also if we look for God, if we are seeing God, we ourselves will shine. Now, what does that mean? We will reflect God's light. And why do we need light? In order to see. Those who look to God will shine. Those who see God will shine for others. They will help others see God. The psalm also says, "Come and magnify the Lord with me." And in my younger days, I often used to think that was a strange thing to say, magnify the Lord. I often thought, how can we make God bigger? God's already as big as it gets. And then, of course, the obvious hit me. I was not understanding the word magnify. It doesn't mean to make something bigger. It means to make something look bigger so that it can be better seen. So we are called to help others see God, to magnify God, to help others see God more clearly. Not just to reflect God's light, but to magnify it. To offer the light of God to those who may only see darkness. To offer God's hope to those who may feel there is no hope. To offer some peace and joy and love to those who are in a place where they can't see those things very well. How do we do that? By reflecting a little bit of God's light. By perhaps trying to look and act and speak a little more like Christ. We are called to both be looking for God and for Christ in our life and our world, to make sure we are seeing God. And then we are called to shine and magnify God for others so that they can share in the light and the love and the peace and the hope and the joy that we can glimpse already. Come and magnify the Lord with me. taste and see that the Lord is good. What is it you want me to do for you? Jesus is asking us. And we might say, let me see. And let you, God, be seen in me. Friends, my prayer for all of us this week is this. May God help us see better. See God better. And may God help us help others see God as well. There's our task for the week ahead. Amen.